Stay tuned for the evening edition of Democracy Now!, followed by Economic Update with Professor Richard Wolff. It is now 6 p.m.
Democracy Now! We'll go to Florida, where racial justice advocates and educators are vowing to fight Florida Governor Ron DeSantis after the state banned an advanced placement African American studies class for high school students, claiming it lacks educational value because it mentions black queer studies, intersectionality, and Black Lives Matter. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Germany's announced it plans to send at least 14 Leopard 2 tanks to Ukraine after months of pleas from Kyiv. Germany also said it would soon allow other European countries to send their own Leopard tanks. The U.S. is also expected to announce today it will deliver Abrams tanks to Ukraine, though that process could take months. The heavy tanks could prove to be a major turning point in Ukraine's fight against Russia, which is approaching its one-year mark next month. Moscow's warned such a move would be seen as a direct provocation. In other news from Ukraine, the government of President Volodymyr Zelensky has fired a number of top officials as part of a growing corruption scandal, which includes reports that the military paid inflated food prices. Turkey's postponed scheduled talks on Sweden and Finland's bids to join NATO amidst mounting tensions with Sweden after it allowed a far-right politician to burn a Quran during a protest in front of the Turkish embassy in Stockholm. Finland has said it would consider joining NATO without Sweden in the wake of the dispute. The British government's admitted around 200 asylum-seeking children have gone missing since July 2021, prompting outrage and calls to fix Britain's immigration system. This is Immigration Minister Robert Jenrick.
Of the unaccompanied asylum-seeking children still missing, 88% are Albanian nationals. The remaining 12% are from Afghanistan, Egypt, India, Vietnam, Pakistan, and Turkey.
Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has previously vowed to enact even harsher policies to block asylum seekers, taking aim at those who arrive on boats through the channel. In New Zealand, Chris Hipkins was sworn in as the nation's new prime minister after Jacinda Ardern announced last week she's stepping down. Hipkins, the architect of New Zealand's pandemic response, will lead the ruling Labour Party into October's election. Carmel Cipollone was also sworn in as new deputy prime minister, becoming the first official of Pacific Islander heritage to hold the office. Cipollone is of Samoan, Tongan, and European descent. In Lebanon, Reuters reports former Prime Minister Hassan Diab has been charged with homicide with probable intent for the 2020 Port of Beirut blast, which killed at least 218 people, injured thousands, and caused widespread destruction. The public prosecutor and head of the Domestic Intelligence Agency at the time of the disaster were also charged. This comes after Judge Tariq Bitar unexpectedly resumed his investigation into the explosion Monday after it was stalled for over a year due to political obstruction. The probe is likely to face more resistance, as Lebanon's chief prosecutor said Bitar had to pause his efforts until judicial authorities give him the go-ahead. Many survivors of the blast, victims' families, and legal advocates have supported Bitar's investigation and continue to seek accountability for the tragedy. In Eswatini, human rights advocates are condemning the assassination of the prominent opposition politician and human rights lawyer Thulani Maseko. Unknown attackers shot him dead out inside his home Saturday. Maseko was a longtime critic of King Mswati III, who renamed the nation from Swaziland to Eswatini in 2018. In 2021, mass protests demanding the abolition of the monarchy erupted. The king's security forces killed and tortured dozens of of people. Maseko provided legal support to detain protesters. The UN's human rights chief is demanding Eswatini authorities conduct an independent investigation into Maseko's murder. In Cameroon, well-known journalist Martina Zogo was found dead near the capital, Yaoundé, Sunday, 5 days after he was kidnapped. Zogo was the director of the radio station Amplitude FM, frequently reporting on corruption. Reporters Without Borders said he recently discussed a case of embezzlement involving a media outlet with government connections. Press freedom groups are calling for an impartial investigation and accountability for Zogo's murder. In Florida, racial justice advocates and educators have vowed to fight the blocking of a proposed new advanced placement course on African American studies. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis Monday said he supports Florida's education department after it claimed the class violates state law and pushes a political agenda by teaching high school students about the Black Lives Matter movement, black queer studies, slavery and reparations, and other topics centering black historical figures and events. Meanwhile, teachers in Manatee County, Florida, have taken to covering up or removing books from their class libraries after a new law prohibiting classroom material that hasn't been vetted and approved by so-called certified media specialists went into effect. Teachers found in violation of these guidelines face felony charges. We'll have more on this story later in the broadcast. A lawyer for Mike Pence said a small number of vice presidents' Indiana home and were handed over to the FBI. The lawyer says Pence requested a review of materials at his house following news of classified documents being uncovered at President Biden's residence and former office. It's unclear whether a special prosecutor or appointed to investigate the Pence classified documents. The Justice Department inveighed against Google for using its monopoly power in the advertising industry. This is Attorney General Merrick Garland.
Used by nearly every major website publisher to offer. Second, Google controls the leading tool used by advertisers to buy that ad. Google controls the largest ad exchange that matches published time that ad space is sold. As a result of this scheme, website creators earn less and advertisers pay more.
Meanwhile, senators on the Judiciary Committee grilled the president and CFO of Live Nation Tuesday since their merger with Ticketmaster in 2010. The hearing was November when the Ticketmaster site crashed during the slot of bots that purchased tickets to resell at higher costs. Hearing.
Today, Live Nation doesn't just dominate the ticketing. It's about 70% of the business. Also, they own many of the major venues. They tend to lock in on 3, 5, 7-year agreements, which means they aren't able to even compete when it comes to the ticketing. Finally, they dominate the promoting. This is because Live Nation is under pressure. It doesn't need to threaten because people just fall in line.
Legal limits on the amount of lead permitted in baby food for babies and toddlers. The agency estimates the new levels could reduce dietary exposure to lead by about 25%. Researchers say even low exposure can lead to learning disabilities and other health impacts. Many critics said that the limits are not good enough. Walmart is raising its minimum wage from 12 to 4. Long called for a minimum wage of at least $15. Walmart CEO Doug McMillon earned $25.7 million in 2022. Publisher of The Nation, Victor Navasky, has died at the age of 90. Victor Navasky became editor of The Nation in 1978, was its publisher emeritus until his death this week in New York. In 1980, his book Naming Names was published, chronicling Hollywood's era of blacklisting. Navasky spoke in 2009 at an event at Google.
The Nation was founded by people in and around the abolitionist movement. And the abolitionist movement turned out to be ahead of its time. The Nation has been, as Katrina said, a fighter for equal rights, human rights, civil liberties. During the years of the bleakest years of a segregationist country, the Nation was ahead of its time.
Victor Navasky, who died Monday at the age of 90. He's survived by his wife, three children, and five grandchildren. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
We look now at how racial justice advocates and educators in Florida are vowing to fight the rejection by Florida state education officials of a new advanced placement course for high school students in African American studies. Florida's education department said the course lacks educational value, reportedly raised concern about 6 points in the curriculum: Black queer studies, intersectionality, movement for Black lives, Black feminist literary thought, the reparations movement, and Black struggle in the 21st century. On Monday, the Republican governor, Ron DeSantis, and possible presidential aspirant, said he supports the Florida Education Department's rejection of the course and claimed it violates state law.
This course on Black history, what's one of the lessons about? Queer theory. Now, who would say that an important part of Black history is queer theory? That is somebody pushing an agenda on our kids. And so when you look to see they have stuff about intersectionality, abolishing prisons, that's a political agenda.
Later today, civil rights lawyer Ben Crump will announce a lawsuit against Florida over its rejection of an advanced placement African American studies pilot program that we're talking about today. He'll be joined by three AP honor students who will serve as the lead plaintiffs, and by one of our guests who joins us now from Florida, in Tallahassee, the capital of Florida. Chevron Jones is Democratic Florida state senator, Bahamian American, and Florida's first openly gay state senator. And in Miami, we're joined by Dr. Steve Gallen, president of the Miami Alliance of Black Schools Educators and an elected school board member for Miami-Dade County Schools, a lifelong educator and former school teacher, principal, and superintendent. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! State Senator Chevron Jones, your response to the state blocking this national AP Black Studies course.
Well, first, thank you for having me. I think it's important for us to point out that this is far greater than just talking about AP classes right now. What we're talking about is the history of Black America. We're talking about the plight of Black America. And we also should make sure that we point out that when we look at what Governor DeSantis and the Republicans are doing, this is just not a Florida thing. This is something that we need to ensure that does not happen and spread across this country. As I have made it clear, and I will continue to say it, that our history does bring educational value. We are of value. We are of substance to this country and of this state. And what the governor is doing in moving forward and blocking students from being able to not just learn about history, to understand other people's history, it is not only wrong, it's disingenuous to the 22 million people within the state and the 20% of African Americans who live amongst the 22 million people within the state of Florida.
And Senator, it's obviously not just the governor. The Education Commissioner Manny Diaz Jr. called, quote, woke indoctrination masquerading as education. Could you talk about the why you feel this movement from the most extreme elements of the Republican leadership in Florida is occurring now?
I think it's important to understand that these buzzwords of indoctrination, wokeism, all of these things that the governor and the Republicans, not just here in Florida, but across the country, are saying actually have meaning. The word woke was used in the 1930s. That was used by activists, by leaders to inform Black Americans to be cognizant of policies that were coming down from elected officials. And now that's being turned, and now they are trying to indoctrinate children to say that that's wrong. Since when have we come to a place to where we are banning books and telling children what's appropriate, what they can and they cannot learn? That's not wokeism. That's not indoctrination. That's facts. That's how I've learned. That's how you learn. That's how the American people have learned over the years. We've learned about Jewish history. We've learned about European history. Now, all of a sudden, African-American history is the problem? No. It's about what is happening across this country and what's being spread across this country for a time that we have fought so hard. My ancestors have fought so hard for to get us to this point, to get us out of the place where we were, to where we are now.
Can you respond specifically, State Senator Chevron Jones, to DeSantis questioning what does black queer history have to do with AP Black Studies? And in your response, if you can talk about, oh, everyone from Bayard Rustin to James Baldwin, and what this means to you as the first openly gay state senator elected in Florida.
The list can continue to go on. We can say James Baldwin. We can talk about Marsha P. Johnson. Let's continue to call those names. That's America's story. That's who we are. I'm America's story. And somebody else will come and be America's story. Why are we taking that away? Here's what we cannot allow the governor's office or anyone to get past. And that is the fact that they said what they said. They said that African-American studies brought no educational value to children in our education system. For black children in the state of Florida to learn and not be represented in their education. And as a black man, as the first openly gay black man here within the state of Florida, I know what my history is. But there's a young man, there's a young woman sitting in a classroom who needs to know a Marsha P. Johnson, who needs to know a James Baldwin, who must understand that their story has been told before. They made it. They can make it, and others will continue to make it as we continue to live in this place we call America.
I'd like to bring in Dr. Steve Gallen to the conversation. Your reaction to the decision and the support of the governor for against this AP course, and also what's been the reaction on the Miami-Dade School Board that you serve?
Yes, good morning. Again, thank you for having me. My initial reaction was that the position that was messaged was counter to Florida law. Florida law explicitly stipulates that black history shall be taught to students throughout the state. It doesn't say may, it doesn't say can, it says shall. So to the extent that there was a denial of access to this information to a segment of students that may be interested and desirous of pursuing advanced placement courses, which obviously has a significant economic impact to them in their trajectory for higher education, I was somewhat taken aback. I too shared the sentiment relative to the message that came out, significantly lacks educational value. I think that resurrected a great sense of rancor amongst not only African Americans, but people throughout the state, and quite frankly, as you could see, throughout the country. And as I've represented, although we represent approximately 22% of the population of the state of Florida, African American history is not something that's simply contiguous to black students. African American history should be contiguous and accessible to all students, because I contend that knowledge is the bridge to understanding. So if we're going to deny that bridge, deny students an opportunity to cross that bridge, to better understand their fellow students, their fellow neighbors, their citizens, I think that is taking us back. And again, I think the rancor around this particular issue has opened up significant wounds that have lingered, quite frankly, for over 400 years.
And can you talk, Dr. Steve Gallen, as a former superintendent, a former principal, a former teacher, they're talking about actual felony charges against teachers who speak about various issues. Explain what teachers are facing right now.
I can't, Amy, imagine what it is like, having been a classroom teacher as well as Senator Jones has been. Classrooms and, quite frankly, public education, I believe, still represents the final frontier for social justice. It represents the epicenter of freedom. And to the extent that teachers are feeling unsafe, they're not feeling comfortable, they're looking over their shoulder, they're walking a fine line between instruction and being able to allow students to express themselves, there's been a great degree of consternation around that particular issue. I've heard from teachers directly regarding the fact that the academic freedom principles upon which instruction, pedagogy, and public education have been grounded are being severely compromised. And again, students need to have an opportunity to express themselves, and education can be used as an instrument of freedom or an instrument of conformity. So what we're seeing in some cases is that either you conform or else. And conformity is not something that we want to present to our students, not only in their learning, but in their lives, in what we call a democracy on the greatest country that the world has ever known.
And Dr. Gallen, can this decision of the education department be challenged? We're hearing now of a potential lawsuit about to be announced. Are there any other ways to challenge this decision?
What I initially anticipated, and again, it's about messaging, having been a part of bureaucracy for, again, over 30 years, the process of submission, review, and feedback, that is a normal process for one to submit something, to have it reviewed, to have feedback provided, and to have an opportunity to remediate any deficiencies or any gaps that may be perceived by the individual organization that received it. That's normal. I think what came out was the messaging, and that, again, appeared to be somewhat offensive. Not appeared to be, I take that back. It was actually offensive, the language that was used. When you're talking about something significantly lacks educational value, what portion of it? So that level of ambiguity along with that messaging created the consternation, the rancor, and quite frankly, the harm that many people feel regarding something that we're very, very deeply concerned about. So we did anticipate, hopefully, that there would be an opportunity. I see that starting to take place right now, but it's not about intent, it's about impact. The impact has already been felt by teachers, by educators, by community members, by our leaders. And again, this is not something that's restricted to the African-American community. This is something that each and every one of us should all be concerned about, because we are, at the end of the day, we're all Americans, and we should be willing, ready, and able to embrace, share, and appreciate, and most importantly, respect each other's story.
I wanted to play more of Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. This is when he took his culture war on the road a few months ago to stump for Trump-backed candidates and the growing speculation about him running for president in 2024.
We must fight the woke in our schools. We must fight the woke in our businesses. We must fight the woke in government agencies. We can never, ever surrender to woke ideology. And I'll tell you this, the state of Florida is where woke goes to die.
Where woke goes to die. And I wanted to talk about people dying. Florida State Senator Chevron Jones. A report from the Trevor Project last year found that LGBT youth who learned about LGBT issues or figures in school are substantially less likely to report a past year suicide attempt than those who did not. Talk about the fear of LGBTQ students right now, their safety.
Yeah, one in four LGBTQ youth commit suicide, Amy, and it's not because of their because of who they are. It's because of how they are treated. Just last year, we did the Parental Rights in Education bill, which was an attack on the LGBTQ community, and it rained across this country. LGBTQ youth was far within this within the Capitol, talking to legislators. It brings great harm. When individuals feel as if they cannot or they're not represented, again, here within their state. Individuals, they feel left out. Individuals feel as if they're going to lash out. And so it's dangerous, what we're seeing. I think school board member Gallen, he said it best. It is the intersectionality of who we are that makes us who we are. But what we are seeing here within the state of Florida is depending against marginalized community, depending against LGBTQ people, depending against African-Americans. And yes, you just heard from the governor. This is where woke comes to die, or this is the free state of Florida. But clearly, there's nothing free about what we're experiencing here within the state of Florida. Marginalized people are in bondage. Every single year, legislative session, it gets greater and greater because this is the agenda that's being pushed.
And Senator Jones, this agenda is being pushed not only in Florida, although it's become the poster state for it, but it's happening across the country. There's a wave of states attempting to censor discussions of race, sexual orientation, and gender identity in public schools. Why do you think that is?
Well, I can't speak to individuals' impetus behind why they're doing what they're doing, but what I can say is that there is this outcry that's happening. I will piggyback off school board member Gallen again, that this is more than just a black issue. This is more than just an LGBTQ issue. This is an issue that we as Americans should be fighting together. To speak to why this is happening, it's a power issue. When individuals see the shifting of America, the shifting of America causes for individuals to rise up and say, this would not be allowed. We want to make sure we do everything to keep our finger on a pulse to make sure that we can control what you learn, we can control what you teach, we can control what you say, and we can control what you do.
Going to be holding a news conference today with Ben Crump. Can you talk about the lawsuit that's being filed and how you want to deal with this as we move into Black History Month?
Absolutely, Amy. We were just planning on having a plain press conference, but this press conference has calls for students, high school students, college students from FAMU and from Florida State University to join in. We have Rebecca Pringle, the president from the National Education Association, who's coming down. The NAACP will be present. This is a national outcry because I will say what you all just said, that this is bigger than just a Florida issue. This is a national issue. If you think that people across the country are not watching what happens in Florida because they believe if we can do it here, they can do it there. And that would be a problem. And that's why you see in the national outcry. The press conference that we're having today is to make it clear that if you're going to start here, we're going to match your energy. We're going to start here also, and we're going to file a lawsuit to make it clear that we, black people, marginalized people, will not be the political punching bag.
Florida State Senator Chevron Jones, first openly gay state senator in Florida, and Dr. Steve Gallen, Miami-Dade County Schools Board member and lifelong educator. He's been a superintendent as well as a principal and teacher. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
We're raising money today for the Tower Fund here at WBAI.
And without that tower, we can't stay on the air.
Please, just give what you can.
And those contributions can be small or they can be large, but those are the contributions that we need to make in order to beat back the other side. No one is going to do it for us.
Even a few dollars a month helps to keep us on the air.
Let's face it, without Pacifica, what do you have? NPR is two milquetoasts. PBS, two milquetoasts. Without Pacifica, we're dead in the water.
And that pledge line is 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950.
And we're only asking those who can give it, those who can afford it. We know that there's some people out there who cannot afford it, and that's one of the problems. Those of us who relatively have must stand up for those who have not.
I'm sick and tired hearing people complain about, well, you know, the right wing has Fox News and they have this and they have that. The oppressor always has more money than the oppressed. We have to make use of the resources that we have. We have people and we have people that can make contributions.
Here on WBAI 99.5 FM, we want to have the Tower fun, strong, and healthy, so we're not worried about it.
212-209-2950. Or you can go online at WBAI.org and donate to the Tower Fund.
Welcome, friends, to another edition of Economic Update, a weekly program devoted to the economic.